At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Still to come on the show today. Paul Carr, Champions League second legs today. You're looking for some soccer action today and tomorrow. He's got you covered. Paul Carr has been on a roll. I don't often do this, Jeff. I don't often review three most interesting things said in the first hour of the show. But I just want to backtrack on a few things that we didn't sort of pick up on. Mark Borchard, by the way, standing by to talk baseball with us. Because one of these three things is about baseball. But I'll lead up to that. One was... most interesting thing that Eric Eager said. One of the more interesting things that Eric Eager said. He did accept my Trevor Bauer comparison with the Deshaun Watson matter, and would that sort of push the NFL's hand in a suspension? And he said he thought that might bring it up to six games. I was thinking six games was the floor to begin with. That was a little curious to me. That was interesting. I didn't expect him to say that. But we'll see what the NFL ends up doing, decides to do with Deshaun Watson. So that was a different perspective for me. The other thing is I briefly alluded to, we had one tennis play, but it started before the show. Again, it's on clay in Madrid. We're leading up to the French Open. Still got to go play in Rome as well in between. So this is clay season. And the picks, not only with the time zone difference, but the picks have been few and far between. Here's the thing, what happens in sports betting. I'm starting to worry a little bit about this. I'm starting to worry that they are catching on to some of the things that I am doing in tennis. I'm not just saying me personally. I'm saying whatever edge you have in sports betting, eventually that edge will dissipate and will go away. You always have to be ahead of the game. So I'm wondering, and again, it's a small sample size here, but in the last couple weeks, the picks, the bets triggered have been few and far between. So I'm wondering if they're starting to do certain things that I've been doing, or picking up on certain numbers. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a little blip, an anomaly in the in a short term. But right now, Sarah Cerebus Tormo up two breaks in the final set. Get it home, girl. Let's get it done. And then the third thing was also the baseball comment. I was talking with Will Hill about this, and we'll bring in Mark Borchard now from an undisclosed location somewhere in Arizona. But it's my early season baseball betting has been reduced to this. It used to be the most cerebral activity of all. I lived on Fangraphs. I would crunch the numbers for every single game, and it would produce bets. And now it's just more like, my God, how are these totals what they are? I understand it because it's the run environment. And I have no choice but to make a bet on this. I don't even have to think about it further. And I'm talking about that yes on the first inning, a run being scored yesterday, plus 155 between the Diamondbacks and the Marlins, just as an example. But a lot of totals just absolutely muted throughout Major League Baseball. And we do bring in Mark Borchard, base winner himself. Or you can follow him at Base Winner on Twitter. Of course, he does stuff for BetUS this year with a totally new perch in his home. Where is this? What room is this, Mark? Is this the family den?
Gil, I'm so lucky. My in-laws, they live in Philly halftime, and then they come out here to Arizona. And they left on Saturday, and my wife's like, well, why don't you use their office, and then you can separate the baseball handicapping from your life, which because it kind of runs into each other. Yes. I think you kind of can sympathize with me.
If you
want to be a baseball handicapper, you can do it 24/7, but you cannot have a life. So challenging to have life balance with a marriage and responsibilities around the house and that sort of thing. And then handicapping. So it's, you know, so far I've been here for 3 days and it's been wonderful because I can just get really locked in, to the handicapping. I don't have to worry about her coming in and saying, well, can you take out the trash? Can you feed the dogs? That sort of thing. So I think it's going to work out really well, Gil. So I'm just really lucky to kind of have a situation like that.
Hey man, we're all rooting for your marriage. I mean, Mark, let me just say that out front. We're all rooting for it.
It's been 12 years, Gil, yeah. And she's gone through this. You know what she hates? She hates when I'm checking in scores at dinner. She really can't stand that. And I can sympathize her because now I'm going to talk about when we had dinner at City Hall. And of course, I love you, Gil. You know that. And I can understand checking scores, but it's really kind of a put off. You were checking the Boston Celtics score and it was coming down to the wire, so I could sympathize with you. But I'm trying to say something pertinent. And you're like, I don't give a shit what he's saying. All I care about is the score of the Boston Celtics game.
So what you're trying to say is that I was an annoying dinner mate back in the day checking scores. Guilty as charged. I resemble that remark.
And I totally understand it because that's a tip. That's a marriage tip to all people who are checking scores. Just leave the phone at home because it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, you can't change the outcome of the game. No, that's very true. I want to ask you about what I was saying before, which is, by the way, I totally apologize for something I did 7 years ago, by the way.
No,
terrible.
It's good. I understand. I do the same thing, but I can see my point is I can see her point because I felt the same way.
Listen, that's the most relatable thing here. We're all that guy, and we all could do better for sure. But so what I was saying before was again, 5 years ago, hey, what's your favorite sport to bet? It's baseball, and everything else is a distant second, right? That's how it was. And for me, over the time, and maybe it has to do with, you know, having a job and having to really sort of narrow what I handicap if I want to do it well and I want to give it the attention it deserves. Maybe that was part of it, too, in baseball. But I also think it's coincided with just the game changing, right? And now we're at the point, I always used to, like, the last 3 years, my big thing was, the ever-increasing chasm between the haves and the have-nots. That was always a thing in baseball where it was just getting ridiculous with the good teams versus the bad teams. But now it's, you know, what I was trying to express was, you look at yesterday's games, I don't even activate my brain anymore sometimes. Now I'm just like, okay, look, this number is so clearly ridiculous that it is my duty to actually play this. I can't not play it because that number, and again, we'll use for the umpteenth time on this show, but we'll use the first inning number on that Gallen versus Pablo Lopez game yesterday, Zach Gallen versus Pablo Lopez in a diamond, you know, random Diamondbacks Marlins game that starts at 6:40 p.m., 3:40 p.m. Pacific on a random Monday in May, as an example of how that the yes price is plus 155. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to know who's in the lineup. I don't have to know anything. I just know that that's ridiculous and I have to play it and I have to be okay with losing it. Now, it worked out, right? It worked out very well, could have not. But I'm just saying now we have 6.5 strewn across baseball. We're not seeing a total besides Coors Field over 8.5 really anywhere. And so I'm just wondering with you who takes this as seriously as anybody, do you ever step back? You know, because you're so locked into it. I was this person. You're so locked into running the models and playing your games. Do you ever step back, just look at the macro numbers and just say, why am I wasting my time with some of these? Like, these numbers are ridiculous.
No, I don't. And perhaps I should. But I think that when you handicap, when you are so process driven.
Yeah.
I think that you make a good point because you do kind of have to step back and say, well, you know, what's going on with the greater the game as a greater game, right? So, like, for instance, like with this ball situation, it's really frustrating for me as a handicapper, because Major League Baseball has shown the propensity to use different balls with different dynamics in the same season without telling anybody. So that makes it extremely difficult as a handicapper, because you don't know what you're getting. So I will say this: it looks like the aerodynamics of the ball, at least early, they're using a little deader ball this year, which is they want to bring the rabbit ball. They want to get rid of that. But my concern is, like, well, they've changed the balls the last three. They've mixed balls the last three seasons. So what's going to stop them from saying, oh, the run environment's too low, we're going to throw in some balls that have a little bit more life in them. So not only that, Mark,
we have some reports this year of pitchers swearing by the fact that they've pitched in some games, or most games, where it is the deadened ball, but then randomly mixed in. And we haven't seen this, right? Because what you're saying is right, that in previous years, we'll see, like, at the All-Star break, they'll be like, all right, now put in all the juiced balls, right? And they don't admit to it, but that's clearly what happens. Now we're getting reports from pitchers who are like, oh, no, no, no. Every, like, few games, they'll randomly mix in a batch of balls that have a completely different texture, that are the jumpier balls, that are the more juiced balls, if you will. So that on top of it makes it even more ridiculous, right, if that's the case. But generally speaking, we're seeing all you have to do is look again at 6.5s everywhere. Like, so, you know, I spoke about this the other day with, you know, on primetime, which is you have 6.5s, which used to be the thing of aces pitching against each other in postseason games. At what point do you just make principled bets and say, these two pitchers – who barely anybody has ever heard of or have a 6.5 and might get to 7, isn't that an auto over? That just doesn't enter your equation.
Yeah, Gallen versus Pablo Lopez, you would think that, well, they're nice pitchers, you know, maybe top 50 pitchers, but it's not, you know, I think in this day and age, Gausman versus Rodon, or, you know, right, Scherzer versus Kershaw, you know, so yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But my whole thing is right now, it's like, I think you got to be really just cautious with these totals, because Major League Baseball is messing around with the balls. And it's been proven by Meredith Willis. She's a great scientist, works for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and she's done some really long pieces on that and actually cut apart the ball and that sort of thing. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that they can't say, well, you know what, the ball's pretty important in our game that's sponsored by, you know, sports books, and they haven't been upfront about it. To me, that's it's reprehensible, Gil.
Reprehensible is a strong word. You do, though, with all of that said, you do have some picks. Judicious. Very, very. He's got a couple picks that he wants to give us. We'll get into that. Does he have a pick on the Dodgers and the Giants? And what about just fading the Reds? What about that? Next, Mark Borchardt, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, just like the man said, just like Brent said. We get tweets. Gil Alexander, by the way. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Keno Walker. Bookmakers are sleeping on Bianca Andreescu. She was +3 versus Danielle freaking Collins, in which she should have been a -3 favorite. Bianca live +3.5 +100 is great value. Let me tell you something, Keno, and Bianca's up a break, I believe, in her first set right now. I do believe that the market is generally undervaluing Bianca Andreescu, and understandably so, right? The 2019 U.S. Open winner, obviously a hard court, not a clay court, which is where we're playing now. I do think that there is a general undervaluing of her because, justifiably, because we don't really know what we have in her at any given moment. So, yes, there's always an opportunity with her, and you may just be stumbling onto something with that. Bruce Dobingen, James Cook, running back, Buffalo, Offensive Rookie of the Year. There's another vote for James Cook. The James Cook Offensive Rookie of the Year contingent is out today. Len Glow, been listening to your show for over 5 years now. You're a breath of fresh air. Giving key insights into games. Thank you. That is why I send you my horse plays. Nothing for the Derby, though. It's wide open this year. No horse has a true edge. Lenny. Jeff, you have a Kentucky Derby play yet? No? Nothing?
Come on now. I'll think about that on Friday.
Alan Harris at Big Cat Sports says, might be hard for the NFL to drop the hammer when any cases against Deshaun Watson probably won't be settled until after the season, especially with it being that they aren't criminal ones. Feels like two games to me. Two? Alan, here's the thing. Logically, you might be right, but the NFL has such a poor record on domestic violence matters. Ray Rice, Josh Brown. Who else am I forgetting? Ezekiel Elliott, who was a reaction to their poor handling of Ray Rice and Josh Brown. Ezekiel Elliott, could be argued, got way more than he deserved. That I can't imagine them backtracking and only giving two to Deshaun Watson. We'll see. Time will tell. More with Mark Borchardt here from Base Winner, but not only Base Winner, at Base Winner on Twitter, but also, what is it, Clear Data Sports, it's BetUS. Where should people go for
you
all your stuff?
You can find all of my work at BaseWinner.com. I've got some good numbers up there, Gil. Expect standings, Base Winner numbers for all the starting pitchers. It's really kind of been a labor of love for me. So go check out the site. Everything's free. So just go. All the ratings are free.
BaseWinner.com. It's very simple like that. Okay, so what do you like today? What's your favorite play?
Well, I would say my favorite play is this White Sox game. And I'm high on Kopech. I have him 23% better than the average pitcher. I've got this game priced at -177. You can get it at -130. So my price is probably, gosh, a good 45 points higher than what the market has it at. And Kopech's been kind of hit or miss this year, but I think his long-term projections are good. One of the things that I like about Kopech, and I've been using Stuff Plus, this is kind of a new handicapping twist that I'm putting into my subjective analysis after my model gives me the price. But Kopech Stuff Plus, 86th percentile compared to Smiley Stuff, 18th percentile. So I like that. And I'm going to go with the White Sox. You know, their long-term offensive projections, Gil, third in baseball for me, and they really haven't done much this year, 85 weighted runs created plus. But if you look at their hard-hit balls per nine, which is a key metric for me, they're number two in baseball. So I do look for that to change. I'm going to go with the White Sox here, Gil.
So you sort of answered my general question beyond this, which was not only do you like the White Sox today, but you're not particularly concerned about their slow start.
Not necessarily. I mean, the Jimenez is out. So, but you know, sometimes you can hit the ball really hard at the right at people. So yeah. That's what's going on with them right now. And I don't see anything in their underlying metrics that are concerning. I think that this team will win the Central. I don't see a reason why they won't.
Yeah, you and I usually we do quarterly shows. But for people who don't know, we do Q1, Q2, Q3, where we go through some of the different baseball numbers, five inning plays, first inning numbers as well. But one of the things we ought to do is they have adjusted season win totals now at a shop like DraftKings. So I think every quarter we should look at those again too, because if a team like the White Sox, for instance, continues to flounder, but you still got your numbers saying what they do, there might be a great in-season regular season wins opportunity there as well. So we'll monitor that quarterly. If not, more often than that.
No, that'd be super fun, and I'm I'm running the standings, the projected standings every day. So I think I can actually, you know, bring some value to that from a numerical standpoint.
Yeah, we talk about
punching
that.
The number standpoint. Yeah, so I can tell you that the White Sox right now, by my projections, 89.3 wins. So we could compare that. And I like it that they're putting season win total numbers out. That's really cool. They used to not do that.
It is very cool. Good on DraftKings for doing that. Good on anybody who does that. They started doing it in the NFL too, which used to be the stuff of like back rooms, right? We used to have these off the grid games that we would play that were not sanctioned. Let's put it that way. Did you one of the things that you did also, you had the Yankees way higher season win totals than anybody else did. Like you had them soaring over theirs. And I know they haven't exactly been beaten up on, you know, murderer's row of teams, but that's 10 in a row for the Yankees now. They do travel to Toronto. I'm not sure on the vax status of some of these players. You have to check the lineups here for the Yankees going to Toronto for this series. But you've been right about the Yankees. Any play on this game tonight at all?
They're all good. You know, I lean to the Yankees. I'm going to pass on it because Manoa has a little bit better stuff than Taillon, so I'm going to pass on it. But one thing that I did want to say is this Yankees bullpen is tremendous. The top part of the Yankees bullpen, I go 1, 2, 3. I go top, middle, and then underbelly of the bullpen. The top part of the bullpen is rated number one. Their stuff plus is number one overall, and their stuff plus is better than the next best bullpen, which in stuff plus, which is Minnesota, by 9 percentile points. So I think it's one of the best bullpens, Gil, that I've seen in a long time. So wow. Really high on the Yankees, high on their bullpen. And this game, let's face it, you've got to be able to nail these bullpens because these starters are only going 4 or 5 innings.
The bullpens are everything, right? That's the other thing. That's so the moving parts of baseball, that's so different than it used to be, right? It might be the single biggest difference is that the starters get taken out early and the bullpens are tougher to quantify, especially with availability, who a manager's likely to go to. You know, it's part of our LL Cool J. What was our metric back
LL
in the
Cool H. That yes. is great. Well, I'm going to have to quantify that. I'm just going to have to get that done.
Stuff
Gil.
Plus, though, is a cool name also. All right. One more question before we get to another one of your picks. Anything Dodgers and Giants meet for the first time this year? Very excited about this series. Any thought on this game tonight? Good pitching matchup.
You know, I've got it priced at -117 for the Dodgers. So if anything, the model would lean to the Giants. The problem I have with this is the lineup for the Giants. I can't get behind that lineup when you're comparing it to the Dodgers, just man for man. So I'm going to pass on it. But if I had to play it, it just missed the cut, Gil. I was looking at the Giants, but I can't stomach that lineup. I just can't.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Sarah Cerebus Tomro, thank you for the win. Brief aside on tennis. All right, so besides the White Sox, then, what do you like today?
I'm going to go with the Rays. I'm not really sold on Paul Blackburn. He's actually had some good starts from a conventional standpoint, strikeouts, walks, that sort of thing. But my underlying metrics on him are not as high. So I'm going to hold him in my model at a 112, which is 12% worse than the average pitcher. Look at his stuff plus. It's 13%, 13 percentile rather. And then if you compare him to Ryan Yarbrough's stuff plus, he's in the 78 percentile. My model has it priced at -161. Market has it priced at -122. I'm going to go with the Rays here. I think that's an affordable price.
Which are the clubs right now that like your numbers are what's the biggest difference between your numbers and current performance?
Let me just go ahead and check that on the expected standings. Hold on a second.
Sorry about that. Sorry to throw you off.
No, it's good.
Did you want to give a third pick before you look at those?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Braves today, and it's not a huge model difference. I've got the Braves priced at -108. You can get them at +106. But I'm looking at the stuff plus. I'm not sold on Carrasco. This is game one, by the way, guys. It's Morton versus Carrasco. I'm looking at stuff plus for Morton at 68 percentile, Carrasco at 26 percentile. My model likes the Braves. The stuff plus likes the Braves starting pitchers better. And I like the Braves bullpen. I think the bullpens are equivalent. I think the Braves might be a little bit better from those advanced metrics. So I'm going to go with the Braves, Gil. That's my third play.
All right. White Sox, Rays, and Braves, a three-pack from Mark Borchardt. All right. So then real quick in our last minute, the teams that you have, your numbers are suggesting teams are most overperforming and the team that is most underperforming thus far.
Well, I would say that the team that their standings should be higher. They should be higher in the standings based on their advanced metrics. The Mariners 12-11 conventionally, but they should be about 15-8. Their weighted runs created plus 120. I think that leads the it's third in baseball. And then their expected fielding independent is at 99, and they've saved 14 runs defensively. So that kind of propels them. Instead of 12-11, they should be 15-8, Gil.
And the other direction, a team that perhaps is overperforming?
Oh my gosh, and unbelievably so. Like the Diamondbacks, 11-13 conventionally, but they should be 8-16 by the expected standings. So
no surprise there. Mark, always fascinating, always fun going into the lab with you. We appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Yo, my pleasure. No problem. Nice talking with you.
And my apologies about checking the scores, you know, six, seven years ago.
I'll do it to you when you come out here next time.
I'm so distraught by that comment. Thank you, Mark. Champions League next with Paul Carr next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Spring Special is here for only $59. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, NASCAR, and the Kentucky Derby betting guide. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features the daily best bets email, every edition of Points Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $59 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/spring. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. By the way, another shout out in case you missed it yesterday. We talked about it when the news broke yesterday. Congratulations to our own Chrissy Andrews, our own. We're at the South Point here. And, of course, they are VSiN stalwarts as well. Chrissy Andrews and Vinny Maliulo, both who were inducted into the Sports Betting Hall of Fame over the weekend. Congratulations to them. Well, they were announced they were going to be inducted. The actual induction is in New Jersey, Jeff, coming up?
Meadowlands,
this summer?
Think so. It is July.
Now I'm asking questions
July
I should be asking.
July or August. I'll have to double check, but okay. It's definitely the Meadowlands.
All right, but that's huge, man. Congratulations to both of them. Of course, Jimmy Vaccaro had been inducted as well, Roxy Roxborough in previous years. But, there it is. We have a nice little picture of it. There's Chrissy and Vinny bookending the inductee. So congratulations to all, but well-deserved. Well-deserved, and congratulations. So everybody hit up Vinny and Chris with their congratulations at VSiN Vinny for Vinny, and at Chris's new Twitter handle at Chris Z Andrews. Check it out there. So congratulations to me. It's July 13th, 2022. Road trip. What's the All-Star break's a little later this year, right?
In All-Star baseball. Break is a whole week late.
Yeah, what's up with that? Oh, because of the season?
Because the season got started.
The season
late.
Was a week late. Yeah, that makes sense. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Carr from Topeka, Kansas, our Premier League and soccer guy beyond Premier League as well, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Also, of course, at True Media Networks and the Expected Value Podcast. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Champions League semis. These are sometimes some of the best games we have all season. Lots of drama, so we'll see what we get this week.
You lost a game yesterday, and I think I speak on behalf of everybody when I say, how dare you? How is that possible that you lost a soccer game? This was
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What are we ruling? So the streak is ended? Is that what we're ruling? Or it's a, what is it?
I think we have to, based on what we talked about before. If we wanted to get into the semantics and call it weekends, I guess maybe we're still got the streak going. But yeah.
Would you? So
picks
you
went the weekend down a little bit.
Yeah, down a little bit. You ended up losing juice. So, right. Nine in a row. It was well done. I'm kidding.
It's a good run.
It's a good run. So today, again, here's where we always have to sort of recalibrate for the American betting audience. This is the Champions League. This is happening while, national leagues are going on. And this is the second leg of the semifinals. You were here for the first leg last week. And if I'm not mistaken, you went 1-1 on those? Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Correct. And the one that you didn't get, I believe, is the second leg that is being played today. Am I correct on that? Which is Liverpool and Villarreal, which you had Villarreal plus the goals.
Villarreal plus 1.5, and Liverpool won that first leg 2-0. So
yes, that one. Going against your tried and true mantra of I'm just going to go with the better team.
That's right.
And you buck that here. Right. So
yeah, we'll come back to that later this week.
Yes, we will resort back to that. So in leg one, a pretty dominant performance from Liverpool, huh?
It was even more dominant than I expected. I mean, they outshot Villarreal 19-1. They had 73% possession. What they really did was shut down Villarreal's counterattack, which is how Villarreal beat Bayern, how they got by Juventus. They were just able to create those opportunities. Liverpool shut them down before they even got shots off. Again, just one shot for Villarreal. So I was impressed by Liverpool's defense in that first leg. They really were committed to stopping Villarreal almost more than anything. And then, of course, they picked up a couple goals themselves.
Okay, so you're trying. So you do have a bet on this is 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Yeah, here stateside, leg number two. So obviously now again, none of the old tiebreakers with away goals. This right. is just about look, Villarreal would have to win this here by two goals to extend and get right. extra time here.
Just straight extra time.
Yeah. So, but you're taking a different tact on this now.
Yeah, I like the under in this one, getting plus money for me at plus 115 on under 2.5 goals. Yeah, so Villarreal has to win by two goals just to reach extra time. So they obviously have to win by 3+ to win outright. And I think Liverpool will do kind of what they did against Inter, where they had a couple rounds ago. They had a two-goal lead going to the second leg and really just shut it down. I mean, they took a dozen shots, which is low for Liverpool, and focused on stopping, again, that inner kind of counterattack. So I think they'll do the same thing here. I looked at playing a Villarreal plus half a goal as well. To me, in this one, I would rather get that, Liverpool 1-0 win, Liverpool 2-0 win as a possibility than, the likelihood of a 2-2 draw or a Villarreal win 2-1, something like that. So I played under 2.5 goals plus 115. It's rainy in Villarreal right now. Mm. I think that's going to encourage Liverpool just to be a little more careful. You could make a case, I suppose, that it's going to open things up because it's slippery and wet. But I think Liverpool will just be a little more cautious. This is very much kind of the stage for a professional performance, get through everything. Even if it's a one goal loss, not the end of the world for Liverpool, but I think it'll be low scoring regardless.
All right. So under 2.5 plus 115, always shop around for the prices. Villarreal and Liverpool. I never know whether to go, Spanish pronunciation or Villarreal. I don't want to sound too pretentious, Paul.
Yeah. It's a dilemma. It's all these pronunciations and we're just dumb Americans.
But apparently I check scores too much during dinners. Apparently Mark Borchardt's been talking to my girlfriend. So I've been scolded today. So maybe I should just pipe it down a little bit. All right. Tomorrow then it is the second leg of the other Champions League semi, which is Real Madrid and Manchester City. Now, this was interesting because Man City won 4-3, but you were pointing out, and by the way, all this, Paul has a write-up at ESPN.com, ESPN Plus, by the way, for those who have that. Is it ESPN.com or ESPN Plus? It is Plus.
I think it's Plus, yeah. It's an plus. ESPN chalk pitch.
Man, you're behind it. You are Plus, Paul Carr. Let's face
thanks.
It. You are Plus. But they won. Man City won 4-3. But this was interesting because even though all the stats went in their favor, they barely got by.
Yeah, this matchup here is very much a numbers versus Champions League magic type of thing. Just in that Man City has been, they are Liverpool. They're the two best teams in Europe. All the numbers are in City's favor all season. Real Madrid is just getting through. They were underdogs against PSG. They got through. They were underdogs against Chelsea. They got through. And the underlying numbers, they weren't always blatantly in favor of the opponent, but they often were. And Real Madrid just has this Champions League magic and pedigree that has been paying off. And it paid off to some extent at Man City. They could have lost that game by multiple goals easily, and City will be kicking themselves they didn't. But Real Madrid just has something. So it very much shapes up as kind of a numbers versus intangibles test, which is always very difficult to handicap.
Okay, so we're facing then. So your play on this game then is tomorrow would be?
Yeah, so I've played Man City to win outright. So that's in the 90 minutes to win at plus 105. I'm leaning on the numbers more than the magic. I mean, here's an example. So in last three knockout games, Real Madrid has 29 shots and they've scored 8 goals. On average, you score on about 10% of your shots. So they're scoring on, over a quarter of their shots. Part of that is taking good shots and things like that. And part of that is some luck finishing. So I'm going with the numbers here. I just think the City defense is good. City has been here before. You know, they reached the final and lost last year. So I think they have the experience. They've shown some know-how in handling Atletico in the previous round. So I think City, the quality will just win out and that they can win this game. So getting plus money, I like that one.
Okay, so you're taking the under today and then you're taking City tomorrow.
Yeah, and let me throw one other thing out there. So one guy hit me on Twitter saying he saw Karim Benzema to score, anytime goal scorer, plus 120 or so.
I saw this. I think it was
J-Rod. If you can get him at plus money, yeah. I like that at plus money. The books I was looking at, he was like minus 120, minus 110, which I'm not as big of a fan. But if you can get a plus 120 price or so on Benzema scoring anytime today, I like that too.
All right. So let me close this out, Paul, by asking you a really silly American question or a question from an American perspective. So Man City and Liverpool could very well be in the Champions League final. Yeah. They're also, there's 1 point separating them with four games left in the Premier League standings.
Yep.
Do one of these matter more than the other? And does this have any handicapping angle?
I'm not sure there's a handicapping angle just because if they both get to the final is, I think it's 2 weeks after or a week or two after the Premier League season. So there's no overlap and there's no resting or anything. So I don't think it's a handicapping angle. Just from a more of a narrative standpoint, Champions League is more valuable for City. I don't know if valuable is the right word, but they want that more because they've never won it.
They've
been close. They were in the final last year. It's the one trophy they really haven't won in this new Man City era over the last decade plus. Liverpool, I don't know that there's a difference. You know, they've won the Premier League recently. They won Champions League recently. So most of this group has already won both. Liverpool traditionally has had not more success, but they won a lot of European titles, so that's always a pretty important thing to them. But I don't know that one outweighs the other, given the recent history for Liverpool.
What's your hunch? I'm jumping the gun here, but is your hunch that Man City takes them both?
I think Man City gets the league and Liverpool gets the Champions League, if I had to take a shot.
Oh, then Liverpool gets the Champions League and Man City still has the drought in the Champions League. Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, Defensive Rookie of the Year, next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, the king of sportsbooks unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, are you? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. J-Rock 61369. There you go. Gil, my long shot bet for Offensive Rookie of the Year is Alec Pierce with the Colts, 30-1. I believe the day of the draft, his odds were 120-1. You like some Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati with the Colts? As good a guess as any, would you say?
I mean, if you're looking down the board, there are worse choices for sure.
He'll get some run.
He'll get some run.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that all depends on how much you trust Matt Ryan, which I don't.
I don't know. You know, I think we are chronically hard on Matt Ryan. And he's had a good career. And I get it. He's frustrating as hell when you bet on him sometimes. But now he's got a team around him. I wonder if that's the team we're sleeping on. I loved them last year. That's for sure. And Carson Wentz torpedoed that. So I think they're going to be great this year. Primetime, talking about the Colts, of course. Primetime underscore bets. You mentioned the YRFI. That is now an acronym for Yes Run First Inning. NRFI is what people are using for No Run First Inning. He says, you mentioned the YRFI plus number in Arizona-Miami yesterday was an autoplay. Is there a plus number where you always pull the trigger, or what else do you look at? The what else do you look at is one of our was one of the very few things on this show through the years that we've never talked about. So some things we always say, some things we're going to keep close to our vest. So we have yet to ever really talk about the secret sauce of first innings, and I'm not going to do that here. But when you talk about autoplay, let me just say this. The plus 155, pretty much generally an autoplay across the board, because you're not going to get a situation where that's really justified. So let me just leave it at that. I won't get too far into it, but that's one of those. Where it's generally an autoplay. We talked about Offensive Rookie of the Year, and we just got a tweet about it again. A lot of people chiming in on who they think will be Offensive Rookie of the Year. And remember, Drake London listed as the short shot of all people over there at DraftKings with Kenny Pickett, which makes a little more sense, right behind him at 6-1. Drake London was plus 550, number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. Kenny Pickett, number 20 to the Steelers. I think I get it, because maybe if you figure on him being the quarterback, the rookie quarterback that gets the most playing time, maybe there's a case to be made there. But I do agree with the general sentiment that because of this quarterback crop being drafted where they were, and the unlikely nature of this crop playing a lot of football, that maybe this is the year to go to a different position. So a lot of people with a lot of thoughts on that, and maybe this is the year to take a long shot. How about Defensive Rookie of the Year? Again, if you have NFL draft fever still and you're like longing to bet things in the NFL involving rookies, well, you can also bet odds to win the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. This is at DraftKings as well. Aiden Hutchinson, Jeff, is your short shot. The number 2 pick in the draft with the Detroit Lions is 4-1. I have to keep reminding myself that Hutchinson got drafted second and that it wasn't Thibodeau, even though my 1-2-3 was correct. Trayvon, Hutchinson, Stingley. By draft day, all the intel on Kayvon going to had your brain scrambled. But Aiden Hutchinson is a short shot at 4-1. Kayvon Thibodeau, the aforementioned Thibodeau, plus 450, the number 5 pick in the draft to the Giants. He is right behind. And then the number 1 pick in the draft, Trayvon Walker to the Jaguars, plus 550. Then it jumps a little bit. Quay Walker of the Packers, Jermaine Johnson, the Jets, 3rd pick of this draft, 8-1. Remember, Breece Hall was shorter than Garrett Wilson. And here we see Jermaine Johnson shorter than Ahmad Gardner, who's coming up. Jermaine Johnson is 8-1. Devin Lloyd to the Jaguars, 8-1. There's Derek Stingley Jr., the 3rd pick in the draft to the Texans, 9-1. There's Sauce, the 4th pick in the draft to the Jets at 9-1. And then Kyle Hamilton, the safety to the Ravens, plus 950. The only one other person I'll mention here, N'Kobe Dean, who I believe was the 84th overall pick in the draft. It was either 83rd or 84th. N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia, who must have been playing through a myriad of injuries at Georgia, and to still be as great as he was, he's 13-1 with the Eagles here. This is obviously a little more abstract than offense, but I think you got to take a long shot play here, don't you? N'Kobe Dean, 13-1 sounds pretty good to me.
Corners don't really win this award, correct?
Not generally.
That's the big problem here, because I think if you don't go pass rusher, the corners are going to be, to me, Stingley, if he stays healthy, and Gardner are going to be the 2 best guys in this class, at least right away. The problem is it's hard for corners to win this award. I also like McDuffie as well, who's going to be pressed into playing a big role in Kansas City's defense right away. But it's hard for corners to win this award. So you have to tread carefully there. It's also hard for high-volume tackling linebackers to win this award, Gil.
Well, here's the list of the last folks to win the Associated Press Defensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, you'll remember, it was Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys, was playing out of position. That's how great he was. Year before that, Chase Young, Washington football team. Year before that, Nick Bosa, Niners. Year before that, Darius Leonard, Colts. Then it was Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints. So Marshawn Lattimore. Before that, Joey Bosa, Chargers. Before that, Marcus Peters, Chiefs. So Lattimore and Peters. And before that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have to go all the way back to 1998 and Charles Woodson to have anyone in the secondary winning this. So it's three guys in the last, since 1993, there have been three guys who have won this from the secondary.
It's hard to win it as a secondary player.
So there you go.
It just is. And I would, the way this league is at this point, it just so, this award feels so skewed towards the elite pass rusher. So based off that, your top two short shots, Hutchinson and Thibodeau, are probably the guys you're looking at here, Gil. And yeah. I would lead in Kayvon Thibodeau.
I'd still go to Kobe Dean at 13-1. And you know what? I would take Kayvon Thibodeau too. Like, Kayvon Thibodeau is tough not to want to take a flyer on. But it's a great point what you make about the secondary. I'm just looking at some of these names, Jeff, who have won this. Brian Cushing won it in 2009 for the Texans. How about that?
Cushing had had some help there.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I'm just looking at some of these. D'Amico Ryans in 2006 for the Texans. Some of these names in the early 90s, I don't even remember. Mike Kroll won it for the Broncos in 1991. Sure he did. So, yeah, I mean, I think Kayvon Thibodeau, but I would take a shot at N'Kobe Dean as well. Is there someone way down the board that we're not thinking about? Again, we're only showing the top 12 here, the shortest shots. Pretty interesting. By the way, Chris Velika chiming in during the show today. Not buying into the Christian Watson thing when we were talking offensive rookie of the year. Or my comment about the Packers. Like, I still go back to the Packers thing where I'm just like, I get it in the division. The Vikings have failed bettors many times before. No one's thinking the Bears and Lions are going to be anything. But 10-1 to win it all? Stop it already. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is great. But he's not, I mean, is Christian Watson going to be his number one? That's what it looks like right here. Any long shot here, defensive rookie of the year? Deeper cuts? Deeper album cuts?
I mean, Karlaftis, but Karlaftis is 18-1, so we're not really going that far down.
But that's an interesting one, right? Because Eager pointed him out as, how about Eager's comment about Karlaftis to the Chiefs? Potentially franchise-altering. How about that comment? Really?
It's a lot, but wow. Again, I like Karlaftis a lot.
What's interesting? What's interesting about that is, we think the Chiefs and their four Super Bowls have peaked, and franchise altering is, don't think that they've peaked. Now they could be back to Super Bowl caliber, which I thought was a fascinating comment. 18-1 on Karlaftis. By the way, everybody hit that prop bet, the over on Karlaftis. I got him 18.5. He was up to 23.5 by the end. Chiefs grab him late first round. Nothing longer than that? Not on the defensive side.
Not really. If you want to go really down the board,
yeah.
I would consider Nick Benito, the pass rusher from Oklahoma who got picked by Denver. He's 65-1. That's the only other one I'd consider.
But now we're
throwing darts.
We're throwing darts at that point. Yeah. Very interesting this year, both offensive and defensive side. The NFL draft with some legs. Post-draft itself. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.